Well, how are we doing this morning, House of Judah family? Fantastic. Come on, y'all got to talk back to me this morning. I said, how y'all doing this morning? Fantastic. That's awesome. Well, like he said, my name is Corbin Hogue. It is an honor and a privilege to be standing here this morning and sharing with you guys in this series that you've been in called Not Finished. First off, just want to give God the glory because he mentioned that one of the pastors at One Community Church. And for me, that's a 10-year dream in the making. So I've been in the ministry for a number of years, like I said, 10 years. And to, I always knew that the Lord has like called us to step out to plant a church, but we was always praying about when was that time. I remember in year 7 saying, God, okay, this is the year of completion. I'm getting deep with myself and all of that good stuff. God, I'm getting ready to step out and plant. And God just surrounded great men around me who said, son, not yet. And I remember being frustrated in that season, like, God, I know the word that you gave me when I first got into the ministry, that you was calling me to reach this generation, then ultimately stepping out to start a church. But Lord, I'm in year 7, like, what's going on? And God brought amazing men, like I said, in my life to tell me, son, not yet. God is still doing the work inside of you. He said before God would do a work through you, he first had to do a work on the inside of you. And so I'm thankful that now we are 3 months into planting our church and the Lord has blessed us in a mighty way. Just the people that he has brought, the team that he has brought, and to just look back over those 10 years to see the faithfulness of God. I'm glad he told me, son, you're not ready. Because I could have never drew up what the Lord has like placed in front of us. And so like I always give God the glory. It's still kind of weird hearing pastor of One Community Church. Like that is different for me. But that's just God's faithfulness every time I hear it, because I know what he told me. My wife and kids are here. My wife, y'all heard my baby back there crying. Pray for him, y'all. Just pray. That's how we pray. We praying for that 2-year-old. He need deliverance now, right now, in the name of Jesus. This is the place. I got some mothers in the house. Y'all need to lay hands on my baby. we have 3 boys, my oldest son, Austin, my middle son, Avery, and the baby who's crying. His name is Asher Chase. Love my family. That's another one of God's blessings in my life, because that's not the story that I ever thought would be possible for me. But we'll be married 9 years this year, and just to see the faithfulness of God. I'm sorry, when I talk about what God has done, like I get choked up, because this is not supposed to be my story. This is not supposed, but God was not finished with me. He is not finished with me, and to see what he has done, he will forever get all the glory when it comes to my life. And it's also awesome to be here with you guys in person. I remember during the pandemic getting a call from Alpheus just asking, could I share and all of that good stuff. And so it's just good to see faces now. Like preaching to a camera, I was like, Lord, hurry up and get me back in the church. Like I need people to talk back to me. Like that's the way I was raised, so it's so good. To see you guys here in the building this morning. But we want to go ahead and jump into the message. If I'm truly being honest with you, this week has been a trying week. And the reason why I feel like it's been a trying week is because of the message that I felt like the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to share with you this morning. Because here's what I know. If the enemy cannot stop the plan of God going forward, he will try to distract you. If he knew what was going to happen today, which I believe he does, he tried his best all week long to distract you this morning. And if you anything like me, it's been up, it's been down, because I'm here to tell you this morning, and it's not because I'm communicating it. I spent time begging and pleading with God. God, what would you have me share with your people? Because here's what I know. People, we are tired of just doing church as normal. If the pandemic has shown us anything, that more than you need a building, you need the presence of God. More than you need a pastor communicating to you, making your feelings feel good, you need the Holy Spirit to intervene in your life. More than you need a communicator or a pastor, you need his presence. And instead of 3 songs, sit down, listen to the preacher talk, get the offering and go out the door, there it's done. Because this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit began to share with me. He said, Corbin, people are coming into church Sunday after Sunday and they're still dying on the inside. That they come in Sunday after Sunday, and this is what I always say. that Halloween show up every single Sunday because the church has taught us on how to put on the mask. You come in, you know how to say it. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored by the Lord. Knowing good well you and your husband was arguing on the way to church this morning. Your kids running crazy, bills piling up. But if you ask them how they doing, I'm blessed and highly favored by the Lord. They know how to sway when the music get right. When the song get good, you know how to hit your little two-step and then you move on out the way. And then you go home and nothing changed. And I'm not knocking that because I was raised in that and we done had some good church. In my 31 years of living, we done had some good church. But nothing beats encountering the presence of God and watching him change, not the outside, but the inside of you. Nothing beats it. So this morning, what I'm getting ready to share with you, I'm telling you now, it's something that you don't probably heard before. And I'm not claiming to be the best communicator. But what I can tell you is that I spent time with God on your behalf this week. I'm begging him, God, what would you have me to share in this not finished series? And as I was praying, this picture kept coming to mind over and over and over again. It was a picture of a person who was literally drowning, and they had one hand above water like this. And there was another hand that was almost at their grasp, but every time they was getting ready to grab to pull them in, they kept going down. I said, God, what is that? At first, when they started giving me the pictures, like, I was like, Lord, like, was that the Chick-fil-A I ate last night? Like, Jesus, like, what is that? Was that the movie I watched? But all week long, it was a picture of a hand who was underneath water, and a hand was getting ready to reach in to grab you, but you kept pulling down. It was almost like you was getting closer and closer to the person pulling you out. But every time he was pulling you out, you kept pulling your hand back down. I said, Lord, what is that? You got to take me to the text with that one. Like, I'm not just claiming to have visions from the Lord. Like, we done had enough spooky stuff like that in church. And it's not even spiritual. It's almost satanic, if I'm being honest. I said, Lord, what is that? You got to take me to the scriptures because I was raised like, okay, if the word confirm it, then we going forth with it. But if it's just something that I've made up in myself, I was like, Lord, the church don't need no more of that. This is the passage that he took me to. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Just to give you a little bit of context, Jesus has just got done feeding the 5,000. And right after he got done feeding the 5,000, it says this: immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Keep the waves and the winds in mind. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They began to cry, "It's a ghost," they said. They cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And this is what y'all done heard before. "Lord, if it's you," Peter asked him, "command me to come to you on water." Verse 29, he said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water toward Jesus. Don't miss verse 30. "But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" This is the picture that I was seeing. That the winds and the waves was coming. And Jesus has called us out to come. But just like Peter, our focus has now went off the person who told us to come, to the winds and the waves. And I began to say, "Lord, what do you want me to say? What is the topic of the message?" He said, "Corbin, the message is focused on the waves. The point of this story, people get excited and they shout about it that God said, Peter, you can come. But the main point of this story, if you look at it real close, it was that Peter took his eyes off the Lord and he began to drown. We get excited when we hear about stepping out on the boat. We're stepping out into our destiny. We're doing all of these things. But nobody never warns you that this blessing can also take your eyes off the Lord. And as I began to pray, I was like, Lord, like, I get this. I've heard this story numbers of times. And it said the winds and the waves. And I was like, God, it's 2022. Like, we're not walking on water. I said, Lord, so what is the winds and the waves? The first thing I felt like the Holy Spirit shared to me, he said, Corbin, the winds and the waves in your life and in my life right now in 2022 is familiarity with him. That we are so accustomed to God doing things one way, and when God begins to want to do a new thing in our life, and it's not like the old way, we begin to take our eyes off him and we begin to drown. Yeah. It's familiarity. That we've been so used to doing this that we have lost the wonder of his presence. Yeah. We have been so focused on getting crowds and turning places into stages, but what happened to the altar? What happened to meeting with the Lord? Yes, the destiny and blessing, that stuff is cool. But if it's going to take my eyes off Jesus, it's not a blessing. It's actually a curse. And many of us in this room, walking around Sunday after Sunday, thinking we know God and we done missed him because you're used to him working in the old season. And God is saying, listen, I come to do a new thing. This is the faith, the glory to glory. I'm doing something new. Will you catch up with me? And every time he try to pull you up to do a new thing, bring new people into your life. Bring new accountability into your life. Every time he try to reach down, you pull your hand back down and you're drowning. Because of familiarity. We've been doing this for a long time. And as I began to pray about this more and more, I was like, okay, God, I see the familiarity. Because what made me think about it was watching him perform the miracle of the 5,000. The disciples already saw that. So they saw the winds and the waves. And they was like, okay, they freaking out. Because Jesus used to always be with them when he performed the miracle, but this time, he wasn't there. The other thing that came to mind to me as I was thinking about this is this passage right here that the Holy Spirit gave me. It was from 2 Timothy, I think it is. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it says this. But know this, hard times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents. And all the parents said, amen, because my two-year-old is getting on my nerves. Pray for me. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, slanderous, without self-control, without love for what is good. Here it is. This is the part I'm going to skip all of this to get to this part right here. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Hand trying to pull you out. But isn't it crazy that we have been in such depressed states for so long, it actually become comfortable? So if God wanting to pull you out to do a new thing, now you're fighting him. He is trying to save you from the very thing that's killing you. But you have now found safety. And the thing that's killing you, and God is like, listen, I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing. I'm not finished with you. But we are so comfortable in the thing that's trying to take our life, that the thing that wants to save your life, you're pulling your hand down over and over again. And I was like, Lord, first, like, those things hit hard. The revelation that the Holy Spirit gave me, I'm telling you, I had to eat this before I give it to you. So I began to say, Lord, like, what's that in me? Like we read off this list, and you know we love to point the finger at the other person. But I begin to say, search me, oh God, if that's in me, that's stopping you from doing something new in me. Show me, not how others see me, but how you see me. Not to my neighbor, because that's why we done got into this mess in the first place, comparison. Looking to the left of us and looking to the right of us. And God is saying, I didn't call your friend on the left or to the right. I called you. You are the answer to the problem. But we're so comfortable. And the Lord is screaming, instead of come, he is saying, I'm not finished with you. I called you out to come. We started doing this thing together. But the moment it got uncomfortable for you, but the moment it got a little tense for you, get this, like this is what the Holy Spirit showed me too, that we can begin to pull away from God from good things too. It's not always the bad things and we blame it on the devil, right? And it's not really the devil, it's just our bad decisions. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm saying? Like you knew you shouldn't have been with him, you know what I'm saying? He beat his last two girlfriends. Wait, I mean, y'all ain't gonna talk about him in here. I'm not gonna see him that unholy. Like, you knew you couldn't pay your bills. Why you get the car? Now I cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus. No, get your credit together. You know what I'm talking about? Good things. Getting to blame it on God. And God, like, hold up, player. I ain't do that one. That one's on you. You know what I'm talking about? But good things can come into your life. You can step out and do something that you know God told you to do, and the moment it get hard, you begin to question, God, did you really call me? When you out there by yourself, when you have to take the hit, when it seemed like everybody else get to take a break and you still got to keep going. God, I know you called us to do this. But right now, just look like it's me out here. And if we're not careful, instead of crying out just like Peter did to get pulled up out of the water, we get comfortable with drowning. Ha, Holy Spirit, I feel you. You would rather discount the call of God on your life to go back to something comfortable. You'd rather give it all up. Because here, I know here. It was toxic, but at least I knew it. It wasn't working, but at least I know that's familiar. But all I'm here to let you know that the Holy Spirit is not done with you. And I feel it strong in my spirit. The Lord is not done with this church. He is not done. He's not done. Don't go back to what's comfortable. You are on the brink of something new. He is doing a new thing, not just in this church, but in your life. But don't discredit this moment. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but just like Peter, it said he yelled to God, save me, Lord. And at the moment of him yelling, a hand came. And may I suggest to you this morning that God is not looking for you to be perfect with your words. All he needs you to say is, help, I need you. In your way. You don't have to all loving and caring father. You don't have to do all that. I'm not knocking that. But you ain't got to do that because if you drowning and you need help for real, everything will yeah, help. Especially if you can't swim. I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to Greenville. You know what I'm talking about? But my church know I'm crazy, for real. Especially if you can't swim. And many of us, we're swimming in situations right now that's above our head. Yeah, it's above our head right now. You're trying to control it, but it's controlling you. It started out with, nah, I got this. I got this. I got this. And now it got you. You're now chained to your situation. So you come in Sunday morning, try your best to worship, but you still got the chains on. And every time you try to go in and scream, the chains bring you back down and remind you of the choices that you made. But I'm reminded in the text, it said there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? But also can be, like, over the past few years, this world has been crazy. Started with the pandemic, and it seemed like everything just came out of the woodworks. So I'm not going to bypass it and just make it like bad choices. Truth be told, mental health rates went through the roof during the pandemic. Depression in the church, people who have the Holy Spirit, calling on him with everything they got and still are battling in their minds. The teenage rate right now, I have a lot of teenagers who come to our church with their parents, and if I have to sit down with one more family to help them counsel their teenager about not taking their life. Talking to one teenager, and then they asked the teenager to leave out of the room, and the daddy looked at me and said, "Listen, I know you was talking to my son, but I'm contemplating taking my life too." Elder in the church. You look at him on the outside, he preached real good. Loving his wife, loving his kids. Know the scripture, so it's not that I can give you scripture. You know that. Yeah. Older man, know it more than me. Yeah. He looked at me and he said, "Corbin, this season has been hard. I'm trying to juggle everything, being a husband, being a father, being an elder at the church, working at my job. I'm trying to juggle it all, and it feels like I'm drowning." First thing I told him, I said, "First, I want to thank you for being honest, because a man of your stature would have took that to your grave." But in that moment, he wasn't caring about this or how people viewed him. He yelled, "Help! I am not okay. Not okay." Familiarity. Sometimes it can be good stuff. Holy Spirit, I feel you in this room. But sometimes it can just be life. It can be life. But I have to give you the warning that I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me. It's the only reason why I felt like he wanted me to preach this. Because in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about how some build their house on the rock and some build their house on the sand. In verse 27, this sweat like literally sent chills down my spine as I was reading it. In verse 27, Matthew chapter 7, verse 27, talks about the man, the foolish man who built his house on the sand. It said this: "The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash." And as I was reading that, because it made me think about when Peter was walking on the winds and the waves, he started looking at the winds and the waves. And then Matthew chapter 7, it's talking about the wind came and it came and blew. So here's one thing we cannot discredit. Life is going to happen. What you claim you believe about God will be tested. It's not all about blessing. Yes, the blessing is good. But there will come a season when everything in your life and everything you have confessed out of your mouth will be tested. But here's the warning. Have you built your house on the rock or the sand? Because the winds and the waves are going to come. They're going to come. Here's the main reason why I said all of that to get you to Philippians 1-6. Because God is bigger than the familiarity. God is bigger than the things that's good in your life. And God is bigger than life. And when life comes, here's what I need you to know. Here's what I need you to know. I'm about to read the verse and I'm going to get on up out your way. Philippians 1-6. You've been in the series. You done heard it. But I hope this take root in you this morning. It says this: "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." I'm here to tell you, if you're not dead, God is not done with you. If you're not dead, I said all of that I said all of that to build toward this point right here. If you still have breath in your body, there is still hope. And we're not talking about eternal hope. When we get the glory, there will be hope. But you can experience hope here on earth. He is not done with you. Yes, it's rough and you're trying to raise them kids by yourself. I get it. But there is still hope. The passage that I read, it said, be confident of this thing. The first question that you got to have yourself, ask yourself is this. What am I putting my hope in? What am I putting my hope in? See, the person who wrote that, let me tell you where he was. He was in jail. And it wasn't just like jail, like in the 21st century. No, he was jail. And back in those days, he was jailed to a Roman soldier. Circumstances going on around him, and he can still pen these words. He is chained to the situation. But something on the inside of him birthed this. I am confident of this very thing, that he who started a good work. So your circumstances don't have to look good for something good to be going on the inside of you. Paul has something that I beg the Lord for every single day. Lord, give me peace that surpasses all circumstances. Yes. That all hell could be going on around you, but the peace of God can still be on the inside of you. Yes. What's that? Yes. Sharing that God is going to give Paul a brand new car while he chained ain't going to make sense there. Right? Praying that God is going to give you $1 million, Paul, if you turn around, sit down, smack the person to the next to you, all that stuff. That ain't going to help him. But he needs something on the inside of him. That this situation, listen, you may have got yourself into it. But the Lord, sometimes he promised not to get you out of it, but walk you with it, walk you in there with you. Sometimes he not going to escape you out. We be looking for a get out of jail free card with Jesus. Jesus. They told me if I spin around and drop it, you know what I'm talking about? I'm sorry, y'all. I got issues. Pray for me. Me and Jesus, we still working on that thing. What was I saying? Okay, sorry. Yeah, get out of jail free card. Thank you, sister. Thank you, mother. Thank you for real, because I was like, hey, what are you talking about? But we be waving at, get out of jail free card. But sometimes he'll look at you and say, my grace is sufficient. I'm not going to get you out of this one. Can't. Because some lessons are to be taught in the fire. But he promised that you won't come out smelling like smoke. Come out wiser. And then when you see him, you run another way because I done dealt with your type before. But some of that you had to learn in the fire. He's a good father, know exactly what his children need. And maybe, just maybe, in his sovereignty, in his goodness, that he has said to you, my grace is sufficient. I started the work. I promised to finish it. But this right here, you got to get the lesson. This is part of the finishing it part. Yeah. It's a cuss word in church, process. We don't like that. We don't like that. That is a cuss word. Because we want it now. I said cuss word. Y'all rose up like, what are you about to say? I don't cuss in church, I promise. And I don't cuss outside of church. It's just a just kind of shock value to bring you back into the service. That's what they taught me in seminary. I'm just shock value. You know what I'm talking about? When I said that, I'm sorry. How y'all look when he wears it up? Not in the house of Judah, we not. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, it's okay to laugh in church, man. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of y'all ain't laughed in a long time because of the situations. And I get it. But he promised. He promised. But you got to go through the process. Because more than he wants anything, he wants your heart. He don't want your works. God is, what the reason why Paul could say that It's because he had a personal relationship with Jesus that money couldn't buy, that situations could not dwarf. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. But sometimes we can get in seasons where it's too hard, and the very person we turn on is the very person we claim to say that we love and we follow. But I'm reminded it's in the tough times that we really see what this relationship is about. Either I claim you to be Lord, or I just like the religious stuff. Reminded me when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Would I suggest to you that he's not even after your lips, but he just really wants your heart? Amen. And oftentimes we are drowning because we are looking for things to fill our heart. This can fill me. This stage can fill me. These people can fill me. And he is saying, they're going to continue to deplete you. But I'm the one that has come to make you whole. I come to make you whole. So this is what I would love to do. We're getting ready to bow our heads and pray this morning. Came all the way from Greenville to let you know that God is not done. It's not. He's not done with you. I don't care what mistakes you have made. He's not finished. If you're not dead, he is not done. He's not. And I know the season is tough. I know it is. But may I introduce you back to the one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has been there the whole time. The whole time. And all he's been looking for is to scream. Help. Help. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. I'm not going to ask you to come down. I'm not going to lay my hands on you. I'm not saying none of that stuff is wrong. I'm just saying that's not what I feel like the Lord is calling me to do in this moment. But what I am saying is if you say, hey, I've been doing this thing called life, and I felt like God is done with me. Stuff just tough right now. First thing I would tell you, it's okay. We all experience toughness. That's why this place is beautiful. But one of the things that God said in his word in James chapter 5, verse 16, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. First, you confess your sins to God, and then you confess your sins one to another. You confess to God for healing, and you also confess to your neighbor for healing as well. So in this moment, we're going to do the first one. We're going to confess to the Lord this morning. If you say, hey, that's me. Like, things just been tough. On the count of three, I would love for you to raise your hand. One, I'm not going to ask you to come down. Like I said, just you doing business with Jesus yourself. If that's you, on the count of three. One, two, three. Father, I felt like I've did what you have called me to do today. God, if don't nobody else say they need you this morning, God, hear me cry out, I need you. I never want to get to a place that I feel like I can do this without you. Father, you are our strength. Father, hope only comes from your words. Apart from me, you can do nothing, you said in John 15. So this morning, God, as a collective body here at House of Judah, Lord, we say apart from you, we can do nothing. God, we come in and we sing songs. But Lord, we need you. We're tired. Galatians 1:10, you was running so well, but who stopped you? Lord, circumstances have stopped us. Good things in our life have stopped us. trials of life have stopped us. But Father, thank you for always being there when we need to turn back to you. And Father, may we rest in the fact that you have not left us, that you're still with us. And may we find hope and strength in you. For it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.